Welcome out to an extremely special episode of the Shield Armory.
It doesn't get more special than this.
That is true, man. We said a long time ago, kind of like one of our other episodes, that we would love to do this episode one day. And here we are.
Yeah, and I think this will go down as probably the most popular, most listened to episode of all time.
You know what? I 100% agree. Without a doubt, we're going to see the most downloads and the most listens of any other episode in the history of the Shield Armory after today.
Yeah, and I think it's in part because I'm not going to be on it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, dang it, man.
Yeah, I want to check out.
That's kind of weird.
It is weird. And what's also weird is that Gareth is going to be gone, too. He's not here.
I'm feeling a little alone.
But you're not going to be alone, Adam.
I am not.
Who do we have on here today?
We have some special people checking in to today's episode. Three people, in fact, that are checking in that are very close to all of us. And we're going to hear from them. We're going to let them tell a little bit of their story. And this could be fun.
It could be real fun. But just in case, I'm going to leave the room in just a moment. in case you all are wondering, the three chaplains' wives are here.
Yep.
They are going to be on this episode today. And I've got to tell you, people ask all the time, you know, what the truth is. Like, you know, chaplains, all three of us have experienced pastoring many, many years. And we sometimes are prone to maybe exaggerate just a little bit. I don't know. But we have the wives here today, so you're going to get some truth today for sure. So we're going to kind of pull back the layers a little bit, and you'll get to see or hear about what the chaplains are really like. So this is about to go down. I'm a little intimidated. I don't like being outnumbered, and right now Adam and I are outnumbered. And
I'm the one that has to stay at the table.
Adam's going
to
stay in here. And sorry, I'm the founder. I've got to go.
Yeah, okay. Well, I see how it is.
I'll miss you.
Yeah, okay. Well, have fun with whatever you're going to do. I'm going to stay in here and hopefully have some fun with these ladies. We're going to have a good time on this conversation. And that's what this is a sit down at this table. You guys are with us at the Police Academy where we spend every Monday together and then other times. But, hey, welcome to the table. Welcome to the Shield Armory. I'd love for you ladies just take a second, introduce yourselves, tell us who you are, and just let us get to know you a little bit.
Well, I'll start. I'm Melanie. I'm Darren's wife, and we have been together for a long time. We met actually when we were in seventh grade. That was the first time we met. And so it's been a while we've been together. And I'm a kindergarten teacher in Roanoke City. I've been teaching in Roanoke City for about 20 years, a little bit over 20 years, and love it most days. And we have two daughters that are grown, twin daughters. They're 25 now and living their best lives, following the Lord. And an interesting fact about me is I don't drink coffee. I do not like coffee.
Hey, I'm in that same place. I don't drink coffee either. So
I'm not a morning person, so not being a coffee drinker and not being a morning person is a bad combination.
Well, bless your heart for being an elementary school teacher. I can imagine those days can be fun but exhausting. I'm just taking
yes,
a wild stab
very
at
much
it.
So, yes.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go to the next seat at the table, and I'll let you introduce yourself.
Good morning. I am Courtney. I am Gareth's wife, and I do love coffee. In fact, have it every morning. I don't know how Melanie does it. It's not a choice that Gareth and I either would make to skip coffee in the morning. So we love coffee. We've been married for 13 years almost. In January, it'll be 13 years. Lord's blessed us with three kids, and we absolutely love all of them so much and are so thankful for those blessings. And I'm a school teacher outside of the house and teach first grade at Smith Mentling Christian Academy and absolutely love it. I started that a few years ago and wouldn't go back. It's something I enjoy doing, and I enjoy just working with children in general. So
That's awesome. And you also serve, if I'm not mistaken, as a children's director at your church.
I do. I do serve
so you
as
have
a children's
kids
director.
All the time at
I
home,
do.
At church, at school, you know, everywhere you go.
So. I do really love children and serving those and sharing Jesus with them. So it's a huge gift that I get to do that.
That's very cool. Very, very cool. All right. Last but definitely not least is somebody else sitting to me that's pretty close or sitting next to me that's pretty close to me. So I'm going to let her introduce herself.
Good morning. I am Adam's wife. We are the newest chaplain team that has been added. He's shoving my microphone to my face, and I'm giving him the eyes, just so you know. But we have been married for 18 years. We have two girls, 12 and almost 16, and they keep us busy, very busy with softball and cheer and just life in general. We have truly enjoyed joining Shield and love being a part of this team. And I am a case manager at Lewis Scale. I've been there for a few years now. Love that. So if you're ever in the area, stop by. Say hey, I'm on 5 West, and I'm looking forward to meeting you guys and working with all of you.
All right. Well, we've got the introductions out of the way. So, ladies, we're going to dive right into today's episode. So Melanie, I want to start with you. Darren began this volunteer journey of working as a police chaplain when he was pastor in a church like 16 years ago. And he was doing the, like I said, doing the pastoring full time, volunteering as a police chaplain. But then came the calling that he felt to step out of the pastoring role full time and into chaplaincy full time, which had a lot of questions in the beginning, how that was even going to work. Walk us through that transition from volunteering as a chaplain to full time chaplaincy as his wife.
Okay, I will do my best. He had been volunteering already, and so I was used to him being with, going and doing ride-alongs and that kind of thing with the police. But when he decided to step down and become a full-time chaplain, it was just a very interesting transition. It was different from going to a new church like we had done before. So there was some fear, I guess, involved. I had a lot of excitement because I knew that this was what God wanted him to do. And I was so excited to see what God was going to do because there were so many parts of it that didn't make sense at all. There were people that actually said, man, you're crazy. You are crazy to do this. Because our two girls were going off to college the year that he started that. And so going out and on your own and not having a, you know, like you have to get your own funds, your own money and that kind of thing and not having a, you know, just not knowing for sure that you're going to have the funds that you need and two girls in college, that's a lot. But again, I said, nobody but God would say this is a good idea and God's math always works, even if it doesn't work in, you know, people math. But anyway, he would come home every single day. He would leave the house going, I don't really know what to do today. I don't know what, you know, it was a whole new schedule and routine. And when he'd gone before, he was doing ride along. So he knew exactly what he was doing, but, he was going to an office. And so he's like, I don't really know where to go, and what to do. So he would just start every day. Holy Spirit, where do you want me? And he'd come home every day, Melanie, you're not going to believe. I just happened to think I should go here, and then I got to see so-and-so, and I had a great talk with. And it was just God moment after God moment after God moment, and amazing. And so I couldn't wait every day for him to come home and share what amazing thing happened. And it's continued. It's not ever stopped. So it was a very interesting time. It really grew our faith. A lot in God as well. And I don't know. It's just, for me, I didn't have a doubt. For me, I knew God, this is what God had for him to do. And I knew that God was going to bless it. And somehow, I didn't know how, but somehow he was going to make it work and take care of things. And he has, and he did.
And it's changed a lot since then. I mean, you think, sure so has. 16 years, that would have been 2009 when he first started. Mm-hmm. And then, correct me if I'm wrong, but 2018 is when SHIELD was formed and launched. And it was just Darren. And then it went from Darren to Darren and Gareth. And it went Darren, Gareth, Scarlet. And then it went Darren, Gareth, Scarlet, me. And so there's been a lot of transition in all of those years, too, which is crazy. Yes. And talking about the God math, it's crazy. Because I remember when Darren asked me to start praying about coming on. He said, look, I can't tell you that I can pay you for the next year. But I can tell you that I think God's going to work it out, man. I was like, all right, let's go. You know, let's do it. So, but that's just how he works, right? Mm-hmm. And that's how he's going. And we I've had the blessing of being here. This year is a year of being at SHIELD, and I've been able to watch those things unfold personally. You know, it's been really, really cool.
Yes.
So Amber and Courtney, you guys have experienced Gareth and I already having a first responder background before we came to SHIELD. That was one of the things that we shared in common when I came, when I became friends with Gareth. You know, Darren's background was pastoring, and then it was landing in a patrol car, you know, volunteering as a chaplain. But Gareth and I shared the background of the fire and rescue side. How would you say that world of walking with us through the fire and rescue stuff compares to what we do now? And do you think that experience helped us in becoming a full-time chaplain?
Well, my husband started fire and rescue in Kentucky. And then when we moved here, he kept the EMS side, not as much the fire side. I think it's valuable training to have on the job as a chaplaincy. My husband just was telling me stories this week about how he was able to use that, to help a family in need as he was visiting some of our officers' families or just visiting in general. And I think that's beneficial to have in such a high-intensity job, especially chaplaincy, because you're going with these officers to different types of calls. And I think that for the EMS side, for my husband, he doesn't see it like everybody else does. It doesn't affect him the same way as if I were to walk onto a scene and see the same scenario that he does. He can somehow blot it out to just see the facts of what happened, and it doesn't internalize like it otherwise would for me. I would be bothered by it. But my husband, not that he's not caring for those people, but he can see the medical side of things and be able to move forward and talk real with people about the scenarios. And I do think that that's been beneficial for him to have that type of training as he's become a chaplain.
I would definitely agree. I would say it's similar in the ways that you guys are always, you are all always on call. You know, the pager's going off in the middle of the night and different things and got to go at a moment's notice or if you're at dinner or no matter what's going on. I would say it's different just in the amount of the different types of ways that that you're used, you know, whether it's counseling or ride-alongs and just I think the worry at home is different just because police world is just, it's just hard these days. It's a hard, hard career as it's gotten worse through the years. And so I think it's just, it's knowing that you guys are protected and loved and covered, but it's just different, you know. In the fire world, you're running into a burning building, but you have a whole team, you know, going in with you. And, you know, it might just be you and one other officer or something if you're on a call. Obviously, you have backup, but I would just say just having to really trust in God and know that, you know, and trust in the officer that you're with, that that they've got you covered and that you know, it's going to be okay at the end. So, yeah.
Yeah. And it is different, and I'll be the first to say that I think that doing that role for so long, I spent 17 years in that world, it was very helpful to be already have a mentality or the ability to process emergency scenes. Even though I wasn't as familiar with law enforcement, we worked with law enforcement a lot and what we did, but it was nice to be able to not have to ride in a patrol car for the first time and go onto an emergency scene and have to process that, plus what the officer I'm with is doing. Being able to already be able to kind of have that mindset of walking into that for me was very helpful. I know Gareth and I both talked about that, how helpful those things are. So we're both very grateful for those backgrounds. And I know that I can say for the both of us, we're grateful for, and then for Melanie too, for Darren, for what we do, for y'all being able to have patience to walk with us through this stuff. Cause it does take away time. It does require sacrifice. And sometimes we don't always come home the best versions of ourselves when we deal with certain things. And so, but we very, very much appreciate that. But this next question is very loaded and scares me a little bit to ask it. So, but I'm going to ask it and allow you to be completely free in your answers, even though I'm sitting at the table with you. if you're right now speaking to the officers that are listening themselves, what would you want them to know about your husbands?
I'll go first. My husband loves each of you dearly and will put down whatever in the world he is doing, no matter what it is, to come to you for whatever it is you need, which is a wonderful gift. That's a great character trait of my husband. However, if it's not an emergency, don't call him. Okay? If he's at home and you just saw him, don't call him, because he'll answer, because in his mind it's an emergency and he needs to talk to you and he needs to make that relationship right. And I'm here for that. And I want you to have a fantastic relationship with my husband. But when he comes home at 5:30, he takes so many calls. And I know that sometimes he's just come from you guys. And I don't mean that in a negative way, just in a, he's got a family at home too, just like you guys do. And he is an on-call person all the time. They don't have an, unless we leave our area, the on-call status is always there. So he'll answer the phone for any officer at any time of the day. So just keep that as a mental note as you do call our house. However, he does love you all, and he loves sharing stories with you. I know of many different stories he calls just to talk to you about, and I'm thankful that he has a friendship with each one of you that he can do that. He doesn't have to just, he's not making anything up. There's multiple officers that he calls all the time just to chat about some awesome stories or something that from his day, and I'm thankful for that kind of friendship that you all offer him. And how that blesses him in his life.
I would echo the same thing. I would say that that Adam is the type of person that he loves everybody. He truly, deeply is so passionate about this job and so passionate about each one of you. What I would say is just that Adam, who he is with you guys, is who he is everywhere. You know, whether it's at church, whether it's at home, he's the same person. He's just all in and he loves deeply, and he'll take care. He'll make sure everyone else is taken care of, and he's going to stand in the gap even if he's drowning, whether that's good or bad. Sometimes I fuss at him and say, you've got to refill, and you've got to refuel. But he's a great husband and a great dad. We've got, like I said, two teenage girls, and he's all in, whether he's on the softball field coaching or he's wearing some green and gold bibs for the Glenver games to watch our daughter cheer. And at first we thought we did as a joke to think it would be embarrassing, but she loves it, and he's kind of become a little mascot for Glenver. he truly does enjoy each one of you, and he is there for you guys, and will always take your call and be there for you in a moment's notice.
I want to say first and foremost thank you to the officers for allowing Darren into your world. He is he was an outsider in the beginning. He did not have any of the first responder experience and that kind of thing. And I first want to say thank you. Thank you for trusting him, for allowing him to be a part of your world. The second thing that I want to say is that there are not words to adequately express the love that he has for you all and your families. Literally, if he is talking about you, it will bring him to tears. Sometimes he weeps over you all, because his heart breaks when your heart breaks. And he wants so badly to see you all thrive and be happy and successful in your life. So I want you to know that you mean more to him than you could ever imagine. And I'm saying that to those of you that have known him for a lot of years, and any of you that maybe have just met him last month. He loves you beyond words. And so what I would say to you is never hesitate to reach out to Darren or any of the chaplains to share, you know, your successes, the joys, the you know, your sorrows, or areas where you're struggling. Never hesitate to reach out. Though I will piggyback on what Courtney said. Mm-hmm. Darren's phone is on 24/7, and it is on him 24/7, And that includes when he's sleeping. And so sometimes in the middle of the night, somebody will be on, they'll be on patrol or whatever. They're working and they don't think about it. And they just send a text of something they're thinking about. And it, so it will wake him up. But he wants to make sure that he is available at any time should you all need him. So that would be my only like caution is that phone wakes him up. he will get to it whenever. So just be mindful of that. But
and he doesn't sleep much as it is.
He doesn't, and it wakes him up, and then he's up. But anyway, you know, and it needs to be that way. We want people to be able to get to him if they need it. So, but just be mindful of that and just know that those phones are always on. And
yeah. Because they love you guys.
Yes.
So they will answer your call no matter what because they love you. And I'm thankful for that.
Yes.
Even if it's just to talk about your favorite food that you just had in the middle of the night.
The big deer you saw in your backyard. That's normally what it is at our house.
I also should say a thank you to the officers for enduring all of Darren's stories.
I was
going to say, it's a thank you for taking care of my husband. I know he's... we call each other tater heads at our house. So take it for what you want to. But we all talk about that. And he is... hilarious and so funny, and I know that he's a lot to handle sometimes. So
I have never met anybody that could walk into a room and immediately start talking about something of somebody he's never met, yeah. And just like that fast, make that connection. I've never seen anything like it with him.
He is so good at making friends.
Yeah,
and I'm a little bit more introverted than my husband is. So he goes, who would have thought, you know? But he goes out and meets a stranger. We did it. At Bucky's on our way home from our SHIELD trip, and he's making friends and inviting them to listen to the podcast. And
while we're having a snack outside of Bucky's.
So my husband doesn't meet a stranger, and that would not be the same for me. I've got room for improvement in that area. But he's just super friendly in that way.
Yeah. So Melanie, you said something when you were talking about Darren. You said that he loves the officers, and you said, he loves your families because at home there are wives, husbands, kids, girlfriends, boyfriends that are at home waiting for their significant others to come home.
Yes.
What would you say to them?
I would say that the chaplains are also a resource for you all. So you are included in that, in SHIELD chaplaincy. You are a part of those that Darren and Gareth and Adam serve. And the second thing that I would say is that I know that as a chaplain's wife, I'm not exactly in the position that you all are in with being spouses and family members of police officers. But I choose when Darren's doing ride-alongs and that kind of thing, especially when he was doing that basically was all that he did with the police. I chose not to worry about that and focus on that, but to focus on the positive things and just know that God, you know, God is with him. God is protecting him, and that beyond that, God is with me. And regardless of what life brings, regardless of what happens, God will see me through whatever. And so it helped me not to sit and worry or think about the worst case scenarios of everything. It's, you know, kind of buying trouble before it happens. So that would be my other thing. But mostly to let them know that they are a part of who SHIELD chaplaincy serves. So never hesitate to reach out. And as the wives of the chaplains, we love to interact with the families as well. And, you know, you're always welcome to reach out to us.
I was going to say that if you didn't.
Yeah. Join our craziness.
I was going to say we're available for whatever you may need, if it's a phone call or a text or whatever.
Or a cup of coffee with Courtney.
A cup of coffee with Courtney.
Yes, we'll send you to Courtney.
Yeah, Melanie and Amber won't do it. So
I'll go to Starbucks for a caramel ribbon crunch frappuccino.
But you're more than welcome to reach out, and we'll be there for you to help you, even if it's just a listening ear, because we do not fully understand the situation that you're in. We just are very thankful for your husbands that take care of our 100%. Husbands yes. while they're out.
Well, and I think there's a lot to be said because, again, you all can, while we are not officers and we don't pretend to be, mm-hmm. we don't understand the weight, but we understand what we watch them go through. You know, we have empathy, and so you guys sit at home and wait on us when we're out in the middle of the night, you know, or we're out in the daytime, and, you know, and I don't know what that's like. I've never sat in that seat, but you can sit with their wives and you can sit with their kids and be like, you know, your dad, your husband, my husband are in this together. You can sit, you can listen, you can be an ear that they need because they need somebody too. And yeah. it's and many times, and we at a conference last year where they talked a lot about this, that unfortunately a lot of times those at home are forgotten about. But that should be the last thing that happens. And so that's at right. Shield Chaplaincy, our passion is to it's the whole family, the wellness of the whole right. family. And that's where and that's a huge part of where you guys come into play. And so I want our listeners to know that if there's a wife or a girlfriend or maybe a child, or, you know, or whatever, please reach out to us because we'd love to get you guys connected with them so that they could sit down and have that person to talk to because that resource is there. And we want that to be there for them. In talking about earlier, we talked about the growth and the change that you've seen in Shield. And, you know, you've gone from one chaplain and just you and Darren to now there being two chaplains, and we cannot forget about Scarlett because she's everybody's favorite team member, you know. How's that changed for you now that Darren's not doing it by himself?
Wow. Lots of changes. One of the biggest things I have enjoyed is the fun. It's been so much fun to have other people in on the team with us. And again, looking and being in awe of what God is doing and has done. You know, that's only God. That's only God. And so I love that. Again, having the ladies, Courtney and Amber with me, the support of that. I really love that. The friendship, the being able to have somebody that understands what I'm saying or I'm thinking or I'm feeling. And I'm sure that's not unlike police officer spouses that, you know, can be friends together and just know what the others are going through. Scarlett changed things drastically when she became part of the team. She's amazing in so many ways. She's a gift from God for sure and a blessing. But she changed a lot of things. One of those is it really curbed Darren's ability to do ride-alongs, which that was a sad thing for him to experience. And but she also, with Scarlett, Scarlett has more things than I have. when you have little ones and you're going on a trip and you got to take, you got to pack for the kids, packing for Scarlett, it's a lot sometimes. And then having space for it. But the other thing is, and this might sound bad, so I'll apologize ahead of time if this sounds bad. I don't mean it to be negative. It is not negative. It's just a different thing. Scarlett is with Darren almost 24/7, with very rare exceptions, she is with him. So Scarlett only has eyes for Darren, really. And, you know, she's his girl. And sometimes he'll be talking to Scarlett and go, "Oh, you're such a pretty girl." And I'll say, "Oh, thanks." And I'm not saying that that I'm jealous. It's just, it's sometimes, Scarlett is, she takes a lot of attention and it has to be that way. And she's a great dog and all of that kind of thing. But, it has changed a lot of things in that way. There's been a lot of changes. Some of them are really, actually all of them are really good. Just with change, it always brings an adjustment, you know? So you can look at those adjustments negatively or positively. And I choose to look at them positively. All of them have been amazing. So
you went from an empty nest to having another child.
I have another child. That's right. That's right. Bless you. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. She's a sweetie.
Well, how about you ladies? How is it having, a team of chaplains, a team of chaplains' wives for you, in this grand scheme of things called Shield Chaplaincy?
Just being new to the team, I would just say that it's been so fun. You know, obviously we haven't had the opportunity to be together too much. We've kind of had a couple of get-togethers. We met at Darren and Melanie's house to meet everybody and throw all the chaos together with all the kids and the wives and things. And then we went to a hockey game together, which was fun, but it's hard to talk at a hockey game. Everything's so loud and everybody's getting beat up. Not us. And then we just recently got back from a trip in Pennsylvania to kind of just get together and grow together and learn about each other. And it was fantastic. It was so refreshing. And just seeing the camaraderie between the the three crazy chaps and then having all the kiddos together. My girls, they loved those little ones of Gareth and Courtney's, and they just so had a fun time. And I would just say it's just so fun just getting to build a different type of family together with Shield. It's been so neat. Yeah.
Well, I would second all of that Melanie and Amber have already said. But I do want to share, Gareth came on after it was a dream of his to be a chaplain, and the Lord said no. And then Darren invited him to be a part of the team, and that is just a super special, sweet moment because he had always dreamed about doing it, but the Lord did not allow him when Shield just started to be involved in that way. We were involved in other ways, but not that way. And then the Lord brought us on in 2021, and in that fall, and he's loved every moment of it. The job that he did before was rewarding, but not in the same way that it is to be a chaplain and to meet all of you and to get to be a part of your lives. And so that, in general, being able to do that with Darren and with Adam now, and having Scarlett involved in the way that they've made an impact, just being there for you guys has been really sweet to me. And it's awesome to me, honestly, just that the Lord answered that prayer for my husband in that way. The camaraderie has also been noted. It's amazing to have people to do this life with that you can relate to, that you can chat with, and it's not a big deal. It's just life, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for Amber's kids. When we went to Pennsylvania, my kids absolutely loved hers and Adam's and got along so great, and they still talk about it. I forgot to, just being real here, my daughter lost a tooth in Pennsylvania. I was supposed to message Hannah and I straight up forgot.
We'll
and
tell
I haven't. I was going to say, if you can tell her, because she messaged, but Lydia was like, can you please tell Hannah? And I'm like, she's in Daytona or she's in Florida this week. So no, I'm not. But I mean, they just love each other. And that's not always when you get a group of people working together. That's not always the thing. But we all get along so well and we truly care about one another and we want to be there. And I'm really thankful for that.
Definitely.
And what it means to be on the team.
I think adding on to that, it is so amazing to see the gifts that each person brings to the table and how well they fit together. Mm-hmm. It's like hand in glove between the chaplains, same thing with the chaplains, but also with the wives. Like the wives just connected.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And again, there was not any, you know, Amber, you, that first time at our house, you know, I mean, you were just
all, right in.
Yeah. She was already, I mean, 5 minutes, not even 5 minutes
like
in,
it.
You walked into my kitchen and I went, I like this lady. She is one of us.
Yeah.
There was no like warm up time to kind of figure each other out. You were just one of us from the very beginning. And I love that. You don't find that with every team. And to have a good team, you know, you right. have to have differences, but you have to be able to work within those with everybody bringing their own gifting. And I'll go back to, again, what God has put together. You know, way back when Darren started it, he talked about Gareth and said, man, I wish I could bring Gareth on. One day maybe I can bring Gareth on. And he said that so many times. And then as Gareth came on, so many times he would come back and he'd say, man, we got together with Adam. We did such and so, or we saw Adam at such and so, or I called Adam to do this, or, you know. And one day, if we had the funds, I would love to bring Adam on.
Yes.
And I look at it and I'm like, God, you are so incredible. Listen, you know, just look at what God has done. So.
Absolutely.
On a separate note, I just wanted to note, like, we're all in different stages of our life, so we're able to help in different ways. My kids are a little bit younger, and then Adam and Amber's are in the teen years. Bless you guys. I will be calling you. And then Melanie and Darren's kids are grown, finished college, and are married, and are getting into the hopefully grandbabies soon, you know, whenever the Lord allows that. We're sitting our kids, Melanie and Darren.
Come on, bring them. They're the pros.
But I think that's beneficial to know that you have – three chaplains who are all in the three different stages of life. Now, we don't have anybody with babies, but we've all been there, so we can 100% speak into that. But we're actively doing life about where many of you all are and can relate in those ways also.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
We will not be, we can babysit, but we will not be raising your children.
Yeah.
We walk with you through it, but we're not raising them for you.
You know, that old saying says, it takes a village to raise a child.
Yes. Right.
You know, there's so much truth in that. You know, it's so good to have people around you that can help love on your kids, help raise your kids, help. And, you know, and as parents, it's our responsibility to raise our kids.
That's
but
right.
The same token, like, we're dependent on you guys and dependent on your husbands and your children to help invest in our kids, you know, so, and same with other folks in our life that are in our circle, you know, because that all those pieces play such a huge part.
Yes,
and as a chaplain family, we do want to do that, right?
Yes.
We want to love on these families and we want to invest in their kids and invest in their marriages and those kind of things so that we can, again, be that village together to help raise our kids up, you know, to be. One of my pastor buddies, it's so funny. We moved to the area together around the same time. He's down in the Thaxton area, but every time I've ever heard him pray for his girls, he's always prayed, Lord, raise my girls up to be the godliest women of their generation, regardless of what that costs. And I'm like, man, that's a prayer, like regardless of what that costs, you know? But he would always say it takes people. God uses people to help unfold that, you know? And so I think that's such a big deal. Hey, let's talk a little bit about how you know, we talk about being involved in the lives of people. Let's talk about a little bit how you have been involved. Everybody sitting at the table has a full-time job.
Mm-hmm.
We're parents. We're, you know, you guys are your moms at different stages. You have a full-time career. What does it look like being involved as our wives and as chaplain wives?
I'll start. I love to help with premarital counseling and marriage counseling when that works out with my schedule with Darren. So I do that sometimes. I've helped him to lead some marriage nights for officers and their spouses, as well as some parenting nights. We've done that. I like to kind of be in the background serving and being there for events. We had a movie night actually at Adam and Amber's church, and so I helped, you know, a little bit in the background with that, and then just being there to interact with the families. So those are some of the ways that I've helped. Courtney and I used to do, I say Courtney and I, Courtney used to organize some wife meals, gatherings, and I would go to those awesome. And help a little bit with those. I kind of was on point for a few of them.
Yes.
But it's very difficult with working full time, but we did those a little bit.
We called it a wives' night out.
Wives' night, yeah.
Is what we did.
I like it. We should reinstate it.
We need to. We got to find a central location for all of us. Once a quarter works for me.
That's
but,
right. Yeah,
me we That's used good. To have wives come and meet us at restaurants, and we would just offer a safe space for you to chat. We found that it works really well for the wives of officers. It was a little more difficult because some of our officers' wives are also officers. And so it didn't always create a safe space for everybody.
Sure.
So we found room for improvement in that we haven't found a specific solution to. But we loved it.
Yeah.
And then when I started working full time, it was a little more difficult to do that and be home for my kids and take care of my family.
Send them to Hannah and Kinsley.
Yeah. Y'all are a long ways away from me.
Oh, it ain't that bad. Come on. It's not that far.
It's just a little hop, skip, and a jump.
So we enjoy doing that. But my husband and I love hosting. So that's something that we absolutely love doing. And again, before I started working full time, I was much better about hosting. My house doesn't see the love, that's a good word. It doesn't see the love that it once did when I was full time. So I'm a little more leery of hosting just for the state of my home personally. But we love having you at our home. We also love taking you to Project Haven. We've done that several times and fished and kayaked and did pizzas with officers. Sometimes grill out. My husband does some hunting there in the fall with officers. I'm not involved in that. So sorry, wives, that's you're on your own. But your husbands and your children can come and hunt, and we're here for that. I would love to have you at my home. I'd love to have your kids play in my backyard. It's a small space, but we are in the country, so I feel better about it personally than being in a neighborhood or anything like that. And it's a little more set apart from everything else and just gives you a moment to relax. to set aside some things that might would have held you a little tighter if you were in the city or wherever else you may be. It's kind of a place it's a place of rest for us. The Lord gave it to us several years ago, and it's been our place of rest up on that mountaintop. And we'd love to have you over anytime.
All right. So I'm going to ask a question I think would be good for the spouses of officers that are at home, because you all know and understand what it's like for us being gone and being with officers, whether it be daytime, nighttime, whatever it is we might be doing. But this is something they can probably and definitely relate to. What concerns you the most about your husband being a police chaplain? And, you know, what is your biggest fear? What are your fears about us being doing what we do?
So I would start off and just say our concerns probably aren't that vastly different from those of the spouses of the officers themselves. Just the general concern, I would say there's for the chaplains, there's a physical aspect, physical safety. While we know that your spouse is there to protect ours, our spouses are unable to carry any kind of protection, you know, no taser, no gun, no anything. And so God forbid they get separated for any reason or whatever. I think that's always in the back of the head. But, you know, there's the mental health taking on not only what they witness during the ride-alongs, but just carrying and offloading other people's burdens, you know, that, you know, they're listening and they're caring and they want to do that. And they do that so willingly, but just being able to listen and find a healthy way to handle those things. But I would say also, you know, a concern is just the work-life balance, you know, kind of like the other wives have mentioned, making sure that while they're being the hands and feet of Jesus, whether, you know, Adam's involved with the police department, the fire department, when he can, just, you know, they're on call, but just wherever they are, whether they're on call with you guys or, but also when they're at home, that they can just be fully present. You know, I know they're always on call, but just making sure that they can be fully there, in the moment with you all, but also at home with us. When they're there, they can be there, you know, because we do, they have wives, they have children, and we need them too, as well. So that would be my concerns.
Just to briefly state, I have a lot of peace about my husband riding with you guys. I don't actually fret when he's with you. No matter who he's with, I know that he's taken care of. It's not ever been a concern about his safety. I've not worried about his safety at all. I think I worry more about him being so tired doing some of the things that he's doing. Not so much safety. You all are taking care of him. I really don't fret about that at all, but I do know he's worn out. And he does it tired, and that's an okay thing, but I don't know how to help him rest. And that's something that I don't even think you all can answer.
Definitely.
About how to help him rest. He doesn't turn off well, and that's not a bad thing. It's just a thing. That's my husband. He's all in, and he's here for you, and he wants to be a part of it no matter what, and he'll be there, and he'll do it tired because he wants to be there for you. So that would just be my major concern. But again, it's not safety. I know that you all are taking care of him. I know that he's in the Lord's hands, and the Lord will take care of him, even when the situation shows that it may not be a good thing. Not to say that there could be some better choices made about the things he chooses to be involved in. Some of that's a personal problem, but he enjoys being with you all. So I would never want to take any of that away. But yeah.
And don't worry, I do know that you take care of him. And I know that. It's just I have a lot of anxiety, and we're new. Courtney,
that's different.
Courtney and Mel are a little bit more used to this lifestyle. I'm used to the more of him running into burning buildings, and so I'm getting more comfortable, and I do trust you guys. I know that he's in good hands. It's just that I have to panic about it first.
I settled that fear a long time ago when Darren was doing ride-alongs, and just quickly realized I could not every single time just be worried about that, and that I wasn't going to do that. So I recognize that it can be a very difficult thing to work through and try to figure out, but I settled that, you know, God, you called him to it, you're going to see him through it, and regardless of whatever, you're going to see me through it. So right. I just went along that route and that way. So my biggest concern for Darren is just to piggyback, to unplug, be able to unplug from, take a break from thinking about, the burden, or burden is probably the wrong word to use there, but just be able to have time to rest, I guess, is the way to put that, mind, body, and spirit, from the chaplaincy. And another thing that might seem a little strange is I am concerned sometimes about the negativity, because he sees a lot of negative and then hears a lot of negative, and then that can also just kind of produce a mindset of negativity. So that's one of the concerns that I have, that I try to call him on if I see it happening.
My husband calls me out for being overly optimistic. So
I will always be overly optimistic. I will always look at
that.
I hope to never stop doing that, because it's much more enjoyable way to live. But I recognize when you're dealing with negative things, and that the officers are, that's what they're there for. They're, in people's worst moments, whatever that looks like. And so that's a lot of negative. But that's one of the things that I get concerned about. I think you guys pretty much handled all the rest of it.
Well, how about for you? What are some of the challenges for you? I know we've kind of hit on this a little bit so far, but just asking the question bluntly, for you personally, what are some of the challenges for you of being our wives and what we do?
Well, my kids are young, and so they love having dad home for dinner and bedtime, and that's not realistic a lot of times. There's moments where he gets called out at the last minute, and he can't be there, or he's out riding with an officer and they can't go drop him off yet. It's not time for him to go back to his vehicle. So he's not always home when we're doing dinner. And because I do have smaller kids, we do have a bedtime that's a little earlier than some. And we wake up early to go to school because it's a good 30 minutes from our house. So we do try to, I have a schedule at our house regularly, specifically for myself and for my kids. And so unfortunately, the job that my husband does as a chaplain doesn't fit into that schedule well. And it's hard to prioritize that when you are out with officers and not honestly on your own time frame in those ways. So they miss them him in the evenings. In the mornings, it's different. We can get up and get ready for school and get going. But in the evenings specifically, it's a little more difficult to put them to bed. And they're like, where's dad? And I said, he's out. He's serving and he's with his officers and he'll be home later. And so we always pray for you all and for Gareth while he's out and about, before you go to bed, if he's not home for sure. But we always pray for you in our nighttime prayers before you go to bed. Just, that's real. And I know that your families deal with that too, because not all of your husbands or your wives are home at the same time, or even there for dinners or for sporting events or different things. So there's moments where he gets on call, you just have to adjust, and it's a quick adjustment and you make it work and you figure it out along the way, or you call in reinforcements from grandparents as you're able. And I'm thankful for a supportive family that can be there. I have a great supportive family on both sides, and that'll be there for me if I ever have need of anything like that. So
I would definitely agree. I would piggyback off of that. I would say, I had jotted down, it's definitely easier to have older children. All of us have been pastor wives, and so, and I still am, but, so we're used to the, being potentially called out at any given minute, but it's just so much more need, know, in this field, definitely, for when it's a, they're a pastor, a lot of times it's for someone in the hospital or death or whatever, or some, someone needs counseling, and that's, that can be managed different ways. But, in this specific role, I would just say that, our kids are a little bit, they're able to understand it a little bit better. I think right now the biggest thing we run into is like Adam, even during softball season, said, I would love to be the head coach, but I can't be the head coach because, I might be called out for shield and I need to be available. And that's, he would 100% choose that every single time. But he still has the potential, even as an assistant coach, to be called out and to have to miss, most of the time he's been able to be there, at their games, but, just missing the bedtimes, it is easier for our kids' bedtimes than it is for yours, certainly, Courtney.
But yes, we did have those challenging days when our kids were younger, when he was a pastor too. Where's daddy? Because he was out with the fire department as well. The pagers would go off and I'm like, it's me. You're stuck with me.
Yep. So,
but yeah, but it's great. And he would choose it and I would choose it for him because I mean, it's a blessing to see them be able to minister to all of you.
Yes.
You can tell it's their passion. You can tell that God has put them in those positions. And I've never wanted to be the one to stand in the way.
That's correct. Absolutely. I will not stand in the way at all.
My husband fulfilling God's calling on his life. It's my role to be the encourager and to be the support and to be his safe place to get to when he, you know, that kind of thing. But I would say one of the challenges that I see with not having, you know, the children at home, and when he did ride-alongs, he did them at night while they were sleeping. So he didn't, and it worked out very well.
My husband's not a night person.
That was back when Darren was a lot younger, and he could go at night and go in the morning, and he just he didn't need much sleep. So, but for me now, his mom lives with us, and so with him being gone or called out, that leaves me to sometimes make sure that all of those needs are cared for, which is fine.
Yes.
But just making sure that need is taken care of, as well as when he comes home, helping him or trying to find a way to help him be there and turn off his job. And I'm guilty of that too. So as a teacher, it's hard to turn off my job. And when I get home, so that would be, that's a big challenge for us is when he gets home, you know, he can come in the door on the phone.
Yes.
That's happened. And then he's home, but for the next hour, he's not there. Or come in and he'll be in for 10 minutes and get a phone call. Mm-hmm. So I got 10 minutes with him. And then for the next hour, I have questions or things I want to go over and
you just want to see somebody at the end of your day too.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So, and sometimes those are calls that are very, 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 very needed.
100%.
And I will never, I will always be gracious and say, yes, of course, you know, take that and be on as long as you need. But sometimes it's just, I told him jokingly one time he was on the phone with Gareth.
Yes.
And jokingly I said, I found 5 times when you could have easily said goodbye.
Yes.
So, you know, just kind of helping to set that kind of boundary balance. in a way that works. It's hard. It's not an easy thing. So,
well, all three of you have talked about it, and so I just want to just ask generally, how do you deal with the 24/7 on call schedule? I mean, it has come up so many times this episode. You know, where you've talked about being on call and getting called out, and you know, and how do you deal with that?
I would just say I just find ways to stay busy, you know, whether we're doing the pool this summer. And a lot of times I'm like, let's go to the pool because the kids don't need dad. They don't need me. They don't need anybody. So we'll do that. Or you know, we find family and friends to just spend time with or just find an activity to do at home or however. I mean, yeah, we've learned to kind of balance it between the many years of pastoring and then this too. It's just a shift, but. That's good.
I actually learned real quick when he was serving as an EMT. I went to go have dinner with them. I brought them dinner, brought him dinner to sit down with him at the table and eat, and he was quickly gone. And then there I was with 3 children, all the dinner I provided, and I was like, bye, hun, be safe, and left with all the mess to clean up. So I have honestly just learned to be able to do it, whether he's there or not. So no matter what it is, a lot of the times if I can't do it without him, I'm probably not going to choose to just voluntarily go do it if I knew he's going to be called out, because it's very difficult. My kids are, my youngest is 5 now, so it's a little bit better. We don't have to worry about as many potty trips or accidents or anything like that. So that's huge and has made a big difference in all the things that I'm able to do now. But I have made it to where I just buck up a little bit. And if I can't do it by myself with 3 children, then I try not to plan it because I don't want to be stuck somewhere needing something and not be able to have that help that I otherwise would have. And that's not a negative on my husband. at all. It's just life. That's where mm-hmm. we are in our life. Mm-hmm. And so we just did start sports because of things like this. And I wasn't comfortable, honestly, having a sports schedule, working full time, and my husband being out of the pocket quite a bit all of a sudden.
Yeah.
So we've worked around some of that. And again, I do have supportive family that if something happens, my husband gets called out or I need someone. I do have great family. I also know that I can call Melanie and Darren if she's not working to help me. And I'm sure I could call you too. I haven't had that moment for either one of you. I haven't had to do that, but I do know that there are people that I can call an emergency. And actually my husband was out of town. And I, as some of you all know, I have an old dog, and people have opinions about my old dog. That's all I'm going to stay. But he's 16, and he was looking not very well. And we've had to call officers to come in case my husband, he was gone for 10 days. And that's not something I would be comfortable taking care of if something happened to my dog. I wouldn't be able to process that well with my children. And so there were officers on call to help me in case my dog died or needed to be put down because of some illnesses that he's been struggling with. And so I know that outside of my chaplain families that I have you all that I can call and take care of things. There's another moment where one of my kids needed stitches, and one of our wonderful officers took my oldest too. I was sick with strep throat at the same time. It was in spring break this past spring, and I had strep throat. My son fell and busted his nose, and my husband was doing work at Project Haven. And thankfully, there was an officer there working with him. My husband took my youngest to go get stitches in his nose. And then that officer, because I was not well, took my oldest too and just walked around Project Haven with him for several hours so that I could pull myself together, clean up the house from the said stitches needed in my son's face. And pull myself together a bit and have some rest after I wasn't feeling well. And so I know that outside of chaplains, I can call you all if I really needed something, and you'd be there for me. And I'm very so thankful for that, because you are like our family. My husband jokes that I just find people that I can be family with, and I just embrace that.
That's important.
I'm here for it.
Me too.
I have lots of friends. And I do want you all to be a part of our family, and I do want to be like, I want to be family to yes. you as well. So I'm thankful, very thankful for that.
I was at Project Haven standing beside yes. Gareth when that phone call came in.
It was bad.
But I thought it was the coolest thing, because that officer was standing just on the yes. other side of him. And he said, well, let me go get your kids and I'll bring yeah. them back down here and we'll hang out. I was like, in my head, I'm thinking, that's cool, because Gareth didn't have to prompt that at all.
No.
His immediate reaction was, let me come and get your kids.
Yes.
And that was so cool for me to see, because I was like, man, like that's like, we're trying so hard to invest in these officers, and for right. them to turn around and say, hey, let me invest in your kids. You know, 100%. That was a huge moment, you know.
My kids still talk about it. My oldest two still talk about walking around the woods with one of our officers. And it's a sweet moment. And yeah. I'm like, again, it's something super special. And that is because
they won't forget that.
No, we want you to be like family with us, and mm-hmm. we'll treat you like family. Just got to let us in.
Yeah.
So
I agree.
I try to be flexible. And just, you know, like if you plan for it, and then
right.
being a sure. teacher has taught me flexibility. You can have the best plan and it changes 14 times. and on the spur of the moment and whatever. So, I try to be flexible. And I also have some just things in my mind that if he has to leave at a moment's notice, I love reading. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, watching movies, there are certain movies Darren just does not want to watch with me, you know.
He doesn't want to watch Chick Flick with you?
No, he does not like
romance.
So I try to, you know, those times I look at it as, okay, I got unexpected me time now. I know my girls aren't. Yes. or to, you know, call one of my sisters, or to mm-hmm. call, you know, a friend or somebody that a teacher friend and get together with them or something like that. But I look at it as, oh, unexpected me time.
And, that's right.
That helps.
And you'll get there too, Courtney.
The yeah. other way that I deal with that, you know, I am flexible most of the time, knowing that we will, I'm help make sure that Darren gets out of town. Darren and yes. I get out of town. Mm-hmm. We have to get out of town. Now, I could do a staycation yes. just fine.
Right.
And would enjoy it tremendously. But Darren would never, ever stop working. And so getting us out of town and having time dedicated mm-hmm. when we went to Pennsylvania recently, you all talked about, and then so being able to unplug there, and then we stayed a couple extra days out of town and just a random place where no one knew us and no one knew Scarlett, and it was fabulous because you don't think about it, but Scarlett is actually, I mean, she's like semi-famous in Roanoke. She's around enough that and so we can't go anywhere in Roanoke where we are not, we can be in the middle of a conversation in the middle of a meal, and a stranger will come up and just start talking, and then
you've lost.
And then
that conversation.
I just sit and I wait, you know. So, and I get it, you know. I mean, but when it happens it's over hard, and over right? and yeah. and people don't think about it. No one is ever meaning.
No.
There's no ill will. Sometimes I'm like, I just want my husband for me. Like, everyone else has had him today. Now I just want 30 minutes with him. Just give me 30 minutes.
We're going to dinner in Tennessee tonight.
So I said, let's go to Daleville. We'll go to Cracker Barrel.
Yes.
And no one, because we don't have to worry about it. It's not too far away. And we walked in, and before we even got seated, there was someone he knew.
And that's Adam.
So there was 15 minutes gone. And then we sat down and we were talking for a few minutes. And then I saw him look over my shoulder and smile. And I was like, I mean, I felt myself getting angry, and that is not my norm. No. And it turned out to be the sweetest couple in our church. I mean, they are preciously aww. Sweet. And I was so happy to see them. But we were laughing. I said, honey, we have to find places right. that are away from Roanoke mm-hmm. where we can just go, and if we're going out to eat, and not expecting to be.
Right.
Because, of course, if he sees people he knows, if he yes. sees officers of right. their families, of course he's going to talk to him. And I want him to, you know. So I don't want to. I don't want that to be an area where I start just having negative emotions. Sure, right. I don't like that kind of thing. So right. I guard against that yes. and find a way around it. If you run into issues that, you know, when I sense I'm starting to feel a way that I'm like, I don't like that way that mm-hmm. I'm feeling. This is not a healthy way. This is not my norm. Then I recognize this is a warning sign, and I need to, you know, just figure out how to work around that and work with that. And we do.
Well, at least you have the ability to just go to Daleville. So my husband has the gift of knowing people across the whole country. He used to tour with a band, and he's been all the way across the states. And so he's seen somebody he knows on the coast of California. We were in Disney last year, and somebody was like, yo, Adam. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. So, I mean, I get that feeling of, like, we literally can't escape it. We're in Tennessee, and, like, we love to go to Gatlinburg. And he's like, yo, man, what's up? And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm just going to go hide in a store somewhere.
Hey, you need to get him maybe that green camouflage suit or whatever. Something. Yeah, you need to.
If you see us, just smile, wave, and just gonna keep going. He'll talk for 5 hours.
Yeah, I think this recent trip to Gatlinburg was probably the first one we've had in years where we didn't see anybody.
It was one of those mullet hats or something like that.
Oh, and boy. We did just get back.
I gotta draw a line somewhere. Okay.
We did just get back from Orlando just yesterday, and we actually surprisingly didn't see anybody we knew there either. Yeah. So it was beautiful.
So that's where you go from now on. That's go to Orlando. Yeah.
No, because now everybody knows we'll be somewhere else.
So talking about these things, I think points us in a really good direction. We're kind of wrapping things up. But as we head towards the end here, I think this is a really good transition point to ask this question. You know, obviously this career impacts you all. It impacts our children. You know, how do you make sure that your marriage stays solid and healthy?
I tell my husband all the time, communication is key. Mm-hmm. In everything. It doesn't, if your plans change, if you're not going to be home at a certain time, communication is key. So I don't mind over communicating about anything that's happening during the day. If you're doing it by text, I don't care if you call me. I don't always answer because I do teach. And so if I'm in the middle of the lesson, unfortunately, I'm going to finish what I'm doing and then I'll answer or respond by text. But that's something that Gareth and I are continually learning. We're not great at it. It's room for improvement always. But the more we communicate with each other about our life in general, the busyness of our lives, what we have going on, and how we're trying to implement some family time in that, that helps bring it all back down to real life, and not just this is all of our life. It is ministry. It is being gone a lot. But being able to communicate about it better helps. Taking time for each other helps. The one thing that I want to do every year, no matter what, is take a vacation where it's just our family. We do have my brother-in-law and his wife come along with us, and we love having them there, but they normally don't stay all week. It's just Gareth and us and me and the kids. And that's just a really great reset for us to have that time alone outside of Virginia, where we are with one another and there's no one there, and he can't, even if you call, he will talk with you, which is fine, but he can't come be there with you because it's a week we've set aside for our family. And that's important to take that time to set aside to just be with one another, especially in the busyness of the work schedules and the on-call hours and everything else that you have going on in your life, because everyone's busy. It's not just us. I'm not saying it's just us, but he doesn't have a regular 9-to-5 job. Mm-hmm. And that does change many, many things. I have goals for us to later have 2 vacations a year, a week long, halfway through, just to help reset our family a little bit and get us better connected after we're running full steam for so many months. So,
you know, side note on that, I thought for sure, I was so excited when Gareth came on, because I'm like, oh, now that there's 2 chaplains now, we'll have less to do. And then it didn't work.
No, it doesn't.
And I thought, what in the world? And then he said, oh, I'm going to bring Gareth, Adam on. And we have the funds for Adam. I'm like, okay, 3 chaplains for sure. No. Now they can rotate. They can just be on more. And I'm like, oh my goodness, it seems busier than ever. So I'm not quite sure. I need to talk to God about that math. That's right. Your math thing is
We need like 6 more of us.
I know. Everyone says, and Aaron's like, I need more chaplains. And that's a good thing, you know, that's a good thing, but it is a big shock, honestly, from what I expected. That is a big surprise that he's busier than he ever was,
right.
With having 2 other chaplains on. But to go back to your question, a big thing for me and Darren is trust. So we make sure that we are, and it goes with Courtney's communication, communicating with one another, you know, especially if it's something with the opposite sex, you know, that, you know, he's got to meet with so-and-so, or he's meeting with I'm meeting with a recruit and just letting you know, and that kind of thing. Right. So just communicating things like that and making sure that the trust is there, because if you can't have, I have to be able to trust that he's going where he needs to go and he's there as long as he needs to be there and all of that. And so that's a big one for me. Praying with one another, that's always a wonderful way to, again, keep lines of communication open and sharing needs when we each have needs, being able to trust again each other that I can share this need I have with you and know that you'll be praying for it and that you will support me. And then again, with what Courtney said, getting out of town, we have to have time together. And yes, my daughters are gone, but I do have my mother-in-law that lives with us, and that takes extra energy and time. And again, not a bad thing at all. I love it. I love that she lives with us. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. But ensuring that we have time together, just the two of us. And I talked about that earlier, but I think those are some of the main ways. Finding things that you like to do with your spouse is also a good thing, especially when you're on our end and your daughters or your children are grown and it's the two of you sometimes like, okay, what are we going to do? So finding things that we enjoy doing together and making sure that we're still, you know, like best friends, that kind of thing.
So I would say too, communication also, you know, but
so huge.
Honestly,
I feel a theme here.
Wait a minute. So Adam actually is better at communication in our marriage than I am. So I'm a little bit spastic and a little probably attention deficit. I haven't been diagnosed, but I'm sure it's there. So I will have great intentions of communicating things of I'm running late today or whatever. And he's like, 5 hours later, you okay? You all right? And I'm like, oh my God, I meant to text you. In my head, I texted you. But he's always been, early on in our marriage, I think when he was running with the fire department or things, if he had to go out at a moment's notice, he knows that I have such anxiety in general.
that I will blow things out of proportions, as you heard earlier in the podcast. My mind just automatically, naturally, because I'm human, it just goes to the worst place, because I think it's like a natural way of preparing myself for the worst. And so I try not to do that. I've tried to undo that. But he's really good at just saying, hey, recording a podcast, can't talk right now, just want to let you know, or he'll text me in advance, going to be away from my phone for the next hour. Things like that are so important to me because I can prepare myself. Okay, if something happens, Adam's busy, I can text him, he'll see it, and if it's an emergency, he'll get to me. If not, I can call my mom, whoever I need to. Right. It's just helpful, those little things, and so I would encourage the other chaplains to do that for their wives as well, or the other officers in general.
If you guys would have seen how she just left it there on the side of the room.
I'm getting helpful tips for Melanie. I'm trying to help.
I think he feels a little pointed out there. Just saying.
So, but yes, I would. It's so important, just because we do worry, whether we try not to or whether we trust the Lord, and because we all do, but you know, we are human at the end of the day, and we do worry about all of you officers and chaplains alike. And I would just also I think it's important, as Adam's wife, I've always tried to, it doesn't always work, but I've always tried to create a home where it's a safe place for him to feel like he can come home to, where our little one sometimes creates a warpath in that home. At home, she loves to tantrum. We're working the demons out. I'm just kidding. But anyway, just creating a safe place, and just a place where he wants to be, where after he's witnessed all of these, you know, sometimes challenging and hard things, that he can come home to and rest and just be, even though he also does not turn off easily. You know, I encourage him to go downstairs, and whether it's sit and play a video game or watch some TV or get in the Word or however, you know, whatever that looks like for him. But just creating that place, it seems if he needs for me to come to him, or if it seems that he needs to, just being able to read whether he needs time alone or time to be with him. And I would also say, you know, getting out of town, that just this past week we were in Florida, like I said, and that was the first vacation that we have taken for ourselves since before our oldest Hannah, who's almost 16, that we've had just us. We've been on a couple of marriage retreats, but they're scheduled, you know, and so your day's kind of planned out for you, right, and things like that. And so it was a vacation away from the kids, but still not really a vacation to just go and unplug. So this one was really great. We just enjoyed some time away, and it was really refreshing. So your chap is ready for you.
Amber, I like what you said, where you were talking about, you know, letting Adam have time to unplug and whatever that looks like for him, and that made me think of, you know, as wives we need to, or spouses, we need to study our spouse. Mm-hmm. As a wife, I need to study my husband. I need to be able to observe him, to see, right, what does he need in the moment. Mm-hmm. When he comes home and he's talking to me a certain way that is not his normal way, instead of taking that personally, I need to look and say, hey, he needs something right now. Maybe he needs some space, or he, you know, what does he need and what can I help with? I love the safe space, mm-hmm, providing a safe space for our husbands when they come home is very important. And I think all spouses, that, you know, that should be a goal of all spouses. But I loved that you said that, and that made me think of, you know, being able to just know what our spouses need. And if we don't know, sometimes you can't figure it out, we can always ask, you know. Yes. That goes back to communication. What can I do for you right now? What do you need? So,
Speaking of what spouses need, I'll just throw this in there. I hear Gareth needs a ferret.
He does.
Yeah.
Slinky. That's very funny.
Yeah, Slinky. So it's going to be the new addition. I hear it this season. That's the word on the street.
Maybe that could be the next pet when your sweet little
old dog dies.
So if somebody wants to purchase that for Shield, once the dog.
They also have to volunteer, yes, to keep it when, right, my husband leaves. Not when I'm gone. When my husband's gone, because he does take many trips. We were calculating how often he's gone, and it's literally once a month. He slowed down because I pointed it out, and he's like, oh, you're right. I said, yes, you're gone a lot, hun.
We'll rotate.
So whoever's going to purchase said ferret, make sure there's supplies, because I'm not purchasing any. You need to be on call. for my husband for when he randomly leaves to take care of said ferret. So make sure that they're your friends too, because
maybe they could just keep the ferret at their house.
I mean, that sounds like a really when my husband will come by and visit. You can get it to the police department.
Like at least two, not just one.
That's the other problem, is it's not just one ferret.
Well, they can't be lonely. They don't want to be lonely.
They could be slinky. I've heard they're mischievous.
Oh my word. Well, you have three children and they're mischievous at times, right? I mean, because my children I know are. So I mean, with a ferret or two or three or four. Oh,
have you ever been around?
Can you imagine how much fun Mac would have with a ferret?
If any of you know Mac,
no more.
We would lose the ferret.
No more throwing hatchets. Or no more chase with hatches. You could just chase with a ferret. I mean, so, you know.
Mac would be fully entertained.
They would. My kids would love it. But just know that the wife is not going to take care of said creature. I will love said creature because I can't help it. But no, we already have two lizards, a dog, and lots of chickens. So.
So what do we need to help get rid of?
None of those. Those are all things that I love. I love them all.
Took a turn.
I know. Oh, man. I've got an extra rooster, but that's not all I can get rid of.
Oh, boy. So. Sounds like we need to get some eggs, babe. If we need eggs, we know where to go.
I should have bought you some today.
Yeah. That's right. So.
All right. So one last question before we close out this episode. If an officer or an officer spouse or just anybody in general walked up to any of the three of you or all three of you and said, just completely out of the blue, how do you feel about your husband being a police chaplain? What would you say?
I would smile a huge smile and say that I am so proud of him. But more than that, I love being a chaplain's wife. Love it. I was a pastor's wife for many years, and I liked it a lot, most times. I love being a chaplain's wife. I love it. I love the passion that he has for it and the joy that it brings him. I love it. So I would, anybody that came, I'm so happy to be a chaplain's wife. I would do it again and again and again and again. Mm-hmm. And I hope that I'm a chaplain's wife for a long time.
Absolutely. I would definitely agree. So like I said, we are new to this, but and I have been a pastor's wife for most of our marriage. And I, like you said, I mean, I loved being a pastor's wife and still do because he is still part-time as a pastor. But just seeing him transition into this role as a chaplain, I just love seeing the difference that it's brought. You know, he's always had a heart to, you know, for other people and a heart to plant a church. And so we talked about when we came into this role, you know, this is similar to planting a church in the middle of the police world. And just being able to put boots on the ground in a field where, you know, no other pastors normally get to go. It's incredible. And just getting to minister to you all, whether, you know, no matter where you stand at with your faith, if you have faith, you know, where you've been for years, or if you have no faith, you know, it's incredible and very powerful. And I too am so proud to have a husband that's a chaplain. So
on the same note, but I am going to go back to what I said earlier, my husband prayed for the opportunity to do this. So in my specific area, I see the Lord answered a prayer, a desire on my husband's heart to be there for people in a great way. And I love that he's able to do that. And so I see the answer to prayer. I see that the prayer that my husband prayed, I didn't necessarily pray that prayer. He prayed to be a part of a chaplaincy. He wanted to go be there for you all. And the Lord gave him that opportunity and is still giving him that opportunity every single day. So every day I remind him, not when it's just bad, good, anything. I tell him, I was like, the Lord gave you this. He answered that prayer 2 years later, something like it was 2 years later, 3 years later than when SHIELD just started. And we were able to be a part of the launch. So that was a huge gift, but we had to sit back and watch. And so my husband had to sit back and watch SHIELD go because the Lord didn't release him from what he was previously doing. But because of Jesus and the answer to prayer that he does care about your heart and he does care about the desires of your heart, and he wants you to live for him and to have that relationship with him. The Lord gave him that. And so, yes, I am proud of him. I'm so thankful for the opportunity that he has to serve you all, the opportunity that he has to serve Jesus in this moment. But I look back and see God's goodness in it all and would say that to you every single time, that that's what makes me the most happy about what my husband gets to do, is that it was a specific prayer that he prayed and the Lord answered. And I remind him that though it wasn't it wasn't answered right away when SHIELD started, it was answered 3 years later, but that's because of Jesus. And so I'm so thankful in his time. It's a verse out of Ecclesiastes. I think it's Ecclesiastes 3:11. In his time, God makes all things perfect in his time. Yeah. And there's a song about it too. And he did, and he does, and he's still doing that. And I couldn't be more thankful for that opportunity to know that we get to serve officers, but we get to do it knowing that the Lord put us there. And that's a huge blessing in our lives to know that we're doing what God wants us to do in that way.
And I love that they serve all police officers. It doesn't matter right. the background. It doesn't matter their beliefs. It doesn't matter their religion. Whatever. It doesn't matter. You know, the chaplains are there for you. And we as their families are there for you. Yes, we right. love you all, mm-hmm. all of you, and are there to serve you in whatever way that we can be of help. And that yes. I love that. That's yep. God. Yeah.
No, they really have a heart for you.
Yes.
No matter what. Mm-hmm. And they will be there for you no matter what. Mm-hmm. And that's just who they are.
That's right.
Well, ladies, this has been fun. This has been a great conversation.
Thank you for having us. I was kind of nervous, actually, but this wasn't too bad.
I'm mm-hmm. still nervous, so.
Yeah. I'm not nervous. Please don't call me back.
Well, none sorry. Of you came off as nervous. I'm proud of you. So you did good. So yeah, no, this was fun. I really do. I think this is going to be one of our most listened to episodes. I think people are going to love hearing from you because they get the real spiel from behind the scenes.
What
you
know, it's really like.
Just listening to us all the time. But hey, seriously, for those of you that are listening, as you've already heard, there's a lot of things you can take away. But hear me when I say that, like, your chaplains are available, but our families are available. We're right. here for you. We all love you. We all want to serve you. We all want to be here for you. So if you need something, reach out to us. Let us help make that connection.
That's correct.
Get you plugged in. Maybe you have a wife at home that needs to talk with another wife and just needs a safe place to unload. Or maybe you need a night out with your spouse and you need somebody to take care of your kids. Bring them
That's
over.
Right. That's
we'll,
right.
We'll have a good time with them. You know, we'll put our kids to work with them and we'll have a good time. Whatever we don't know what that looks like for you, but we do know that we're open to doing whatever we need to love you and minister to your family and help you in any way that we can. So,
That's right.
So ladies, thanks again. Thanks so much for being on this episode. Thank you guys for listening, and we will catch you on the next episode of the Shield Armory. Thanks for spending time today with us on the Shield Armory. We hope this episode brought encouragement, insight, and a reminder that you're not alone out there. Whether you're on the road, behind the desk, on dispatch, or at home, know that your service matters and you are seen. If this episode helped you in any way, share it with someone you feel it could be an encouragement to. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Until next time, stay safe, stay grounded, and as always, watch your six.